While the number of people infected with the coronavirus continues to rise, social distancing and isolation has led to a noticeable reduction in some crimes, but not domestic violence. Today, a pair of conversations. One on the reality of the situation on the streets here in the Portland metro area, and another to find out what's being done to help survivors of domestic violence who are staying home but aren't safe. It is Monday, April 6th, and you are listening to the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a COIN 6 digital exclusive.
Allison Wilson is a program coordinator for the Multnomah County Domestic and Sexual Violence Coordination Office.
We have four programs within our one. The easiest way probably to explain it is that I supervise a team of advocates who are embedded with local law enforcement, and they respond on scene to calls regarding domestic violence, as well as our high-risk response team. And we have an elder and vulnerable adults advocate, and then another advocate on our team who is working on misdemeanor domestic violence crimes that are being assigned for investigation.
And these people that are embedded with local law enforcement, the official term for them is an advocate?
Yes, a victim advocate. And we have a mix of system-based advocates and community-based advocates on our team.
And you mentioned local law enforcement. What agencies locally are you working with?
We are currently stationed as a part of the Special Victims Unit with the Portland Police Bureau. And then we also partnership with the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, as well as Gresham Police.
Allison, anecdotally, numbers are going up. We see reports from law enforcement agencies in metro areas across the country that numbers of requests for assistance are going up. Are you seeing evidence of that in Portland metro area?
I think what we're seeing is a lot of, unfortunately, is a frequency of domestic violence happening in the metro area that is exacerbated now with the circumstances that we're in with folks at home more, some of our survivors having to shelter at home with abusive partners. And I think that the difficulty in that statistic is looking at how many folks are currently experiencing domestic violence, but unfortunately, because they are having to shelter at home with unsafe partners, they are unable to reach out for help in the same way.
Are there additional or new dangers because of that kind of policy? Does it just exacerbate problems that already existed?
You know, I think that would be hard to quantify. The struggle that we are having is that, you know, the message to stay at home is around public health guidance. Absolutely what we would want to see happening for the majority of the community to be keeping folks safe and healthy and to lower exposure rates. The difficulty staying at home or sheltering at home with somebody who is already unsafe, the difficulty in reporting those incidents comes up a lot more for folks who don't feel safe to be able to call for help. You know, they're not as free to move about the community, so having a break from home to be able to leave and be out, whether it's at work or in parks with their children, it's difficult to say whether there's new cases or just really ongoing violence in homes, which is still happening, and at times now is happening in a way where we don't necessarily know as much because of our access to survivors.
For your advocates, for those people on your staff, for those people who are going out, who are embedded with police officers and local law enforcement, are they seeing a difference in who they're dealing with, and has their job changed at all because of social distancing requirements?
You know, I think we are still seeing similarities in the folks that we are serving. I think that the difference may be that with folks at home now in different ways than they more traditionally are when we're not being asked to stay at home in order to stay safe. You know, we do potentially have a few more calls coming in that are from neighbors or other folks in the community who are becoming differently aware of violence that is happening in homes around them because they are home at different hours of the day now than they previously may be, and may be hearing or seeing different things that are going on. For the advocates on our staff, you know, by and large, their work has maintained the same. They are here and available 7 days a week until midnight for patrol and deputies to call us and provide crisis intervention for folks. The differences that we are seeing, of course, with social distancing are, you know, the need for providing those services more remotely, whether it's, you know, via phone, helping somebody with a restraining order through a telephone call, or getting somebody sheltered safely in a hotel or a motel, doing a lot of that interaction more remotely than when we would previously be very much side by side with folks. Being able to do that with folks not in person, it is a difficulty.
Allison, what would your message be to someone who is in an abusive relationship right now?
I think most importantly, what I would want to say is that we are still here for you. You are not alone. A large portion of our population who are not even safe to be staying at home right now, and that it's important for us to be addressing that in different ways and raising awareness to that in very different ways than we have previously. There are still advocates and teams out working daily in the field to provide shelter and food assistance or other basic needs. As isolated and scary as this may be feeling right now, we are still here for you, and we want you to know that you're not alone.
Allison, thank you again very much for spending some time with me. Have a very good day.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Once a call for help has been made, support systems for survivors of domestic violence are coordinated through services like Portland's Gateway Center.
My name is Martha Gon Morris. I'm the director of the Gateway Center for Domestic and Sexual Violence Services, which is a one-stop shop for survivors of domestic and sexual violence and their children. It's a partnership between Multnomah County and the City of Portland and a variety of other both public and private partners.
How many agencies combine to make up the Gateway Center?
15 different agencies work under the same roof at the Gateway Center.
And your objective is to help as many victims of domestic violence as you possibly can. You help them with what?
We help them with whatever they ask us to help with the best that we can. The service that most folks ask for coming in the door is access to restraining orders. But then we do a lot of safety planning with folks. We do a lot of domestic violence education work with folks. Then we connect people to a wide variety of other resources. So we're a walk-in, drop-in center. So survivors come in and we say, how can we help you? And they say, I heard I could get a restraining order here. Or many say, I don't know. Somebody told me to come here. I'm in a situation. And then depending on what the survivor is telling us, that dictates our next steps. We understand access to services has changed, and that could create additional barriers for safety for survivors, but it's hard to understand fully what that impact would be. There's a lot of ways to employ strategies for safety that many survivors really know how to do really well. You know, being a survivor means managing threat all the time. In normal times, we're a walk-in, drop-in center, and we're not currently providing in-person services because we can't do it safely in the space that we have. So we have really ramped up our phone advocacy services. And even though I only have a small crew in the building, we've got a large crew outside of the building providing ongoing advocacy. We worked very, very quickly with the court to create remote access to restraining order hearings. So in typical times, a survivor asking the court for a restraining order would file paperwork and then make what we call an ex parte appearance, which means coming alone before the court. So just the petitioner would ask the judge to sign the restraining order. The Multnomah County Circuit Court, in partnership with us, has created access through telephonic participation for hearings. One of the early responses we did was quickly setting up a way that we can remotely file restraining orders for folks. So we do all of our work over the phone and on email with survivors, and then we file the papers with the court. So people who might be staying home because of the pandemic who might otherwise come in and get a restraining order, we're still getting folks access to restraining orders and to advocacy over the phone.
Martha, in this kind of weird time that we're in, What are you most proud of that your office has been able to maintain and continue doing when a lot of offices and a lot of services have had to really cut back?
I think it is the access to restraining orders and advocacy services, that we've been able to stay a hub to a variety of other agencies. I'm proud of how quickly we could adapt to maintain the highest service levels that we could think of. I'm very proud to be part of a continuum of domestic violence service providers, both programs and agencies. The determination to adapt as quickly as possible to make sure that we were still here.
What would be your message for people who need help?
We're still here. We can help explore what options a person might have to make a change in their situation. We're really good at it.
Martha, thank you very much for spending a little time with me.
Thank you, you too. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can find additional resources for domestic violence survivors in the article for this episode on COIN.com. Also today, prisoners in Oregon could soon be making masks for healthcare workers on the front lines in the fight against coronavirus. Oregon Corrections Enterprises has already made 30,000 non-medical grade masks and is seeking approval to make medical grade versions. That does it for me today. I'm Ian Costello for the COIN Podcast Network. Stay safe, stay home if you can, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
The COIN 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the COIN 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.